prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can't prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The Truth Revolution.
Welcome to Truth Revolution. I am Dave. With me is Pastor Jeff of Revolution Church, and this is where faith and reason meet.
Logic.
Yeah, logic.
Faith.
Yep, they can coexist together. What's going on, man?
I'm just happy to be here today.
I'm happy to have you here. I'm happy to be here, too.
We're going
to
do a Bible contradiction today and answer that Bible contradiction. We also have a listener question that we are going to try to answer if we have time. But today, Christianity sucks is the article we're going over.
Nice.
You didn't...
I kind of perused a little bit, but I, you know.
Why Religion Has Poisoned Mankind by Kent Harper. It says, Christianity Sucks, Why Religion Has Poisoned Mankind by Kent Harper. And he starts out, we're really only going to tackle the first two paragraphs of this article because there's so much to correct
right.
in this thing here, these two paragraphs. Let's go ahead and jump right in there, Dave.
Okay. You want me to just start reading
just
the article?
Just start reading the article.
Where it starts with Ben Carson.
Right there. Yeah, Ben Carson.
World-renowned neurologist at Johns Hopkins Hospital in Baltimore, Maryland, was once asked if he believed in God. He said yes. He was then asked by the same person if he was religious. He said no.
Now, let me pause there for a minute. This may be the experience of a lot of people who are listening to this show right now. Mm-hmm. It was your experience for a while, right?
What, as far as I believed in God, but I wasn't really religious?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and a lot of people at Revolution Church, that yeah. is their experience.
It's a really weird thing because you know God exists, and you know that things that you might be doing might be offending God, but... you really don't think about it very much, and mm-hmm. whenever you do, you feel guilty, and then the next pleasure comes along, you're like, forget about it, and move on.
Okay.
And that's a pretty rough way to live, especially when you look at it back on from the Christian perspective. Uh-huh. You know, when the Bible says that we are storing up wrath from God
yeah.
in the things that we do.
That sounds scary.
And it really makes you wonder, where could I have gone? You know?
You can't handle the truth.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, but, okay, the guy goes on here, and because... he actually kind of shows and rationalizes why he's not religious. Mm-hmm. Let's finish reading the article here.
All right. He said, no. How can you believe in God and but not be religious? The person asked. Simple, Dr. Carson said. Religion is false. God is true.
That's interesting.
What the church doesn't want you to know is that God and the church are separate.
Okay. Wait. Read that part of the article again.
What? What the church doesn't want you to know is that God and the church are separate.
Okay, that's a main premise we're going to try to tackle today, but let's finish reading this here.
It goes on to say, the church is an independent institution, while God, if you believe in an actual God, is all around us every second.
Now, Dave, do you believe that God's all around us at every second?
Yes,
I do. I do too. So if you listen to the show and you agree with that statement, then you're on the same track here with us for right now. A lot of times we answer the skeptics, we answer the atheists, we answer the people who think the Bible's crazy. Mm-hmm. Today, we're really talking with our friends who believe in God, but aren't right in a church right now.
Right.
They see God as a possibility or a reality, but they aren't seeing religion as a necessity. And let's go ahead. Let's read the rest of this paragraph.
He continues, I personally believe that all persons on earth, good or bad, create ourselves a supreme being. We are supreme being. Our choices affect others and the world. Our choices affect future generations, and in turn, whatever the future does will impact how history is written.
Okay, so he sees ourselves as the supreme being.
Right.
But that's not necessarily what we're going to tackle today. We tackled that on a lot of other shows. Mm-hmm. The teleological argument, cosmological argument. I think we've shown sufficiently that
go on forever.
God is existing and continues to exist. However, why do we do church membership? Why do we have local churches? Why do we have this religion? Because that's a really pressing question.
Right. And I think, you know, if I'm afraid I might jump forward a little bit, but I'm going to go ahead and say this, that, you know, Jesus intended for us to continue to meet. You know, the Bible tells us constantly that we should not give up on meeting together.
Okay, sorry, I'm jumping ahead. I'm clapping for you before you're finished.
And the Bible tells us basically that in order for us to be able to build up each other, we need to be around each other.
Mm-hmm.
If we're not around each other, we can't build each other up.
Yeah. You know? I mean, consider this. Okay. For those of us who think that there is a God, but we aren't religious, I want you just to consider for a minute that God always designed his people to be in community. Okay. He created Adam and Eve.
Right.
All right. Jesus sent the disciples out. When he sent them out in pairs with other people. He set apart not just one prophet, but an entire nation of people to be his people. Not unconnected individuals, but an entire nation was his, Israel. And consider this, the Bible, okay, even the New Testament, contains like a plethora of writings and letters sent to groups rather than individuals.
Right. Amen. Like, good point.
Like there'd be a church and Paul the Apostle would write a letter to the church. And that's why that is part of the Bible. Because he was writing a letter to the entire church. Okay, everything God does basically was done through community. Let's just go through some of these Bible verses and we'll just show, because we believe in God. We believe God speaks through the Bible. But let's look at some of these verses to see if this community concept is necessary.
All right, Genesis 2:18 says, "The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone."
Okay, at this point, God had created the world. He created the Garden of Eden. He created Adam and all the animals. Everything was like awesome. And he looked, he's like, the light is good. The land is good. The water is good. The animals are good. Man is, wait a minute, it's not good.
Right.
Now, this is before there was sin in the world. This is before there were problems. This is before there were government and taxes. And God says, without any of that bad stuff, this is not good. Right. This is not good.
Right.
Why?
Because we need community.
We need people.
Right.
Adam needed a person. He needed an Eve. He can't just be an Adam by himself.
Right.
It doesn't work. He's lonely. So God says he needs someone else. So he puts another human being with him.
Right. And from the very outset of creation, God created community.
And so if you are living your life all alone, you are going to be depressed. It's Amen. Not going to work. And if you want to live a spiritual life alone, it ain't gonna work.
Right.
All right. Let's look at the next verse.
All right. Hebrews 10:24-25. "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another."
Okay. Like a lot of people don't want to go to church, right? Because like you said, you feel judged, worried about people thinking bad about you.
Right.
Whole purpose of here meeting together is what?
To build each other up.
To build each other up. What if I told you to come to church because people want to build you up, not tear you down?
A lot of people might actually look at you kind of dubiously.
What do you mean? Yeah.
A lot of people's experiences with Christians, I'll be frank, have not been very good.
Mm-hmm. No?
Let's talk about judgmental people.
"You're going to come to church today." Yeah. "No, don't make me go to church." "You have to. You've been bad."
What? Yeah, okay, and I get what you're saying there, because it's almost like people are saying, well, you need to get to a church and get your life straightened out.
That's
and,
what people feel like it might be.
Right, and that's not the case.
You it get shouldn't
yourself,
be.
Yeah, you get yourself into church, and God will straighten you out eventually, but the thing is, you know...
Well, it's kind of like having good parents. Like, you could look at your parents and be like, oh, no, they're going to discipline me and hurt me. But if you had good, loving parents, you might know that, yeah, every once in a while they're going to get you back on track. But primarily, they're going to provide love for you. That relationship provides stability. It's something similar to that. But it also says, let us encourage one another, right? All right, build each other up. Encourage one another, spur one another on towards love and good deeds. These are things that people want.
Right. You know, this whole thing about a church coming to people that don't look like they fit in and say, man, you know, maybe you shouldn't come back here. That really irks me.
Oh, yeah, me too. You know? Wrong. If you're doing that, you're wrong. Right.
So, and if you've been treated like that, by golly, we got a church for you.
Oh, yeah. This church, I don't care what, we've never turned someone away because of how they looked, how they smelled, how they act.
You've ever seen one of those blankets that has been cobbled together by a bunch of little bitty pieces, a quilt, you know, and the edges are frayed up, and it, you know, there may be some of the squares that look nice and stuff like that. A couple of them, the edges are kind of ate up and stuff. Yeah. That's our church.
Seriously. Yeah. It's like, oh, you like rap music? Cool. Come on. Oh, you like rock music? Cool. Let's go. Oh, you usually listen to traditional music? That's fine too. Right. We'll accept that. I mean we're not going to play it here, but yeah, come on in. We love you. Yeah, I mean, just, it doesn't matter who you are. We just want you to come experience the love of God. So we got talking about revolution instead of just the concept. Okay.
Well, and the one thing I also too want to point out is like, it's not just about Revolution Church. If you are not in a church, you need to get in a church.
Yeah, for our listeners nationwide, mm-hmm. or especially those on air in like Ohio and other places where Revolution isn't, you really got to check out the churches in your local area. Search right. until you find one where they're going to be teaching the Bible, when they're going to be loving on you. There's a book called Ecclesia. Yeah, Ecclesia is about the church and how it should be. Ecclesia mm-hmm. is actually the Greek word for church.
Right.
And it was written by a guy named Tom Nelson. He says this.
He says, recently someone said to me, my family doesn't attend church. Our family does home church. I didn't say it, but I thought, what amazing family you must be to have all the spiritual gifts needed for growth and mission under one roof.
Yeah, you see, another big problem with solo spirituality is that doing it on our own, it's just simply not how right. Jesus planned it. Right? He designed the church to be a group of people, like he said, a patchwork quilt, mm-hmm. right? A group of people, a body, and there's thumbs, and there's fingers, and there's eyes, and there's noses. I can't be all those things by myself. Right. I'm not Dave, and Dave is not Jeff.
Right.
And Dave and Jeff are not Sam, who's our video guy over here. And like, they're, all of us play a role. And you, listener, you were invented by God to play a role in the community of people mm-hmm. in the church near you. And if you aren't playing that role, that church is going, we're missing a thumb.
Right.
We're missing a thumb.
Exactly. The Bible tells us that the body is made up of many parts. And we're talking about the church mm-hmm. and as a whole, and that each of us actually are made to be a specific part of that body.
Yeah.
And if you're not performing that function,
yeah.
if you're off doing your own thing, that'd be kind of like your thumb detaching right. itself from your hand and going off and
exactly.
you know, hitchhiking somewhere.
You know, I think about this article. He's like, well, you know, God is true, but religion is not. And, you know, the church doesn't want you to know that God and the church are separate. Well, that's not quite true.
Right.
But what the problem is we look at religion, we look at if the church is here primarily just to give rules and to tell me what's right and wrong, then you don't necessarily need the church if you know what's right and wrong.
Right.
But if the church is here for more than just telling you what's right and wrong, if the church is here for a lot of different reasons, including you have something to offer someone else because you were designed by God right. to play a role in someone's life, then that's much bigger right. than just hearing what's right and wrong.
Right, amen. And everybody, I know everybody has the want to be able to belong to something bigger than what they mm-hmm, are. Mm-hmm. If you get into church and you can actually, you know, don't just go to church and get fed.
Yeah.
Go to church and actually feed somebody.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
know?
Yeah. Oh, totally.
And, you know, iron sharpens iron, that kind of thing.
Okay, we're going to pause on this for a second and we're going to do a Bible contradiction.
Bible contradiction.
All right. Those that want to know today, ask, is the earth supported?
What?
Job.
Like by taxes?
No, Jeff.
A lot of the earth is supported by taxes.
Just sit there for a minute.
Okay, I'll wait. Right.
Job 26:7 says, he stretcheth out the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon nothing.
Oh.
However, Job 38:4 says, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. So it's either hanging upon nothing or it has foundations.
Dave, why is our cracked acronym so important?
Because it helps us to destroy Bible contradictions. Like what yes, we're going to do right now.
That is one reason. What's a more positive reason our cracked acronym is important?
Because it helps people understand that Bible contradictions don't exist.
Yes, that's true too, Dave. Is there possibly any other good reason that you'd want to read the Bible correctly?
Oh, so we don't misinterpret what the Bible's saying.
Yeah, okay, that's good. That's good.
Right on.
Yeah, we want to know what God's actually saying, right? Yeah,
you got to kind of hit me in the forehead sometimes.
Kapoof! All right.
Sorry.
Like the A, we're going to go with the A in our cracked acronym, C-R-A. It's the author's intent. We could also use the D for dialect. Like, what types of words are we using? Are we using sarcastic words? Right. Are we using metaphors? And here you see metaphors. You see analogies. You also want to get after the author's intent. What was he trying to communicate? When it says he stretches out the north over the empty place and hangs the earth upon nothing, what's been trying to be communicated here? Is he trying to communicate that the earth is floating in space? Because that's scientifically true, but I don't think that's necessarily scientifically what's trying to be accomplished here. I think what this is trying to say is look, God don't need nothing, right? The earth is held by God himself. And when it says he laid the foundations of the earth, it's not talking about a literal concrete foundation.
Right.
It's not like there was a mason that needed to exist. And I was like, yo, I want to make an earth, so I'm thinking a nice driveway-like foundation.
Right.
No, the foundation of the earth is just the idea that it needs something to support it, namely God himself.
Right.
He laid the foundations of the earth. He put it in place. He doesn't hang it on anything. When you read the author's intent and you read it for how it was supposed to be read, it's really easy to see this in the Bible contradiction, but it's talking about the power and supremacy of God. That's all.
Amen.
That's the answer for a Bible contradiction today. All right. Hey, Revolution Church, you heard us talking about it. You should come on out 9 or 11 a.m. Sunday mornings. And you can watch online if you're not right here in town.
Right. You can get past shows and True Shots.
That's right. Revo.church is the website. And come on out to truthrevolution.tv. We'll be right back with more after this.
Ephesians 1:4 says, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." We were chosen by God to be saved before the world began. But listen to the rest of this verse. It says, "In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will." God chooses to describe his grand cosmic plan for the redemption of humankind as adoption. Now God chooses words carefully. And Jewish theologians, including Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, believed that history from the beginning was moving towards a pinnacle mountaintop when God would redeem his people, that is Jesus Christ redeeming us. And all the climax of all history, physical, emotional, spiritual, is described as our adoption because of Jesus. Consider adoption today. God uses the word as the pinnacle of what he's done for you and me. And it can be the pinnacle of what you do for another human being in this world.
I want to learn about God, but I don't know if I'd fit in at church.
If that's you, Revolution is your church.
We're a church for people like you who have never been to church, haven't been in a long time,
or don't own fancy suits.
Yeah. How about you? At Revolution Church this Sunday.
Revolution is at 9 and 11 on Sundays.
And please, no dressing up!
Unless you have a really nice looking tattoo.
Oh, yeah, all right. That'd be good to wear. Yeah. Revolution Church is on Facebook or www.revo.church.
That's REVO.church.
Revo.church.
Did you know that Truth Revolution is supported by Revolution Church and listeners like you?
It takes quite a bit of time and money to produce a quality radio show.
If you find Truth Revolution helpful, a donation would be a powerful way to make sure the message keeps going out.
This ministry is doing more than Dave and I imagined it would at the beginning.
You got that right.
And as we grow, we want to keep the goal the same, to be the place where faith and reason meet.
Donations are accepted at www.truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
Sometimes people are confused. Why would God punish God for something humans did?
Right. If Jesus was God, why would God the Father punish him? And how does that magically forgive us?
The reality is we are forgiven because of God's vast mercy. Even before the cross, God's mercy was working.
So why did God punish Jesus? Romans 3 tells us plainly he did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus.
God is just, meaning that he is fair and impartial. He should always punish wrong.
But he also wants to justify us, meaning he wants to step in and defend us.
So the way he demonstrated both his justice and his desire to help us was by sending Jesus to die and take our punishment.
The cross was a demonstration of who God really is.
That doesn't mean that there wasn't really a sacrifice. Jesus paid the ultimate price, and God forgives us through that.
Yet that punishment was to demonstrate God's justice and forgiveness.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Truth Revolution.
But I don't want to go to church.
But you have to. You've been bad, Dave.
Whatever.
No, this is not what we're talking about, church, right? All right? You don't go to... Actually, there's this joke. This guy said, "Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm a pretty good person now, but I had a drug problem when I was younger." Oh, yeah, really? You did? Yeah, my mama drugged me to church on Mondays, drugged me to church on Sundays, and drugged me to church on Wednesdays.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm okay now.
Yeah, but it's crazy. You know, because I used to be one of those kind of people. I didn't want to go to church.
Uh-huh.
I didn't want to be around people for the fear of being judged because, you know, I have a particular personality. And, you know, when I get around people, some people look at me and they think, this guy is not a good guy,
mm-hmm.
You know. But once you get to know me, you can figure that out for yourself.
Because you wear black, have tattoos, and drive a motorcycle?
Well, okay, yeah.
But, and punch babies?
That last part is false.
Don't punch babies.
Anyway, but you know, once I started actually going to church,
I would let you babysit my kids.
Right on.
Yeah, I trust you.
I know, they'd have tattoos and be wearing black by the end of the day.
Actually, two of them are right now already.
Right. But, you know, the whole thing is once I got involved in church and I actually started giving, you know, of myself to mm-hmm. the church, I actually started participating, my life changed and my whole attitude changed. So, you know, take it however you want.
And not because people were judging you.
Right. But because I actually found that I can have a place in this life where I didn't have one before.
Exactly what that verse we read was talking about, right? Where, hey, we meet together mm-hmm. to build each other up, amen. To spur one another on, yes. to encourage one another. So, all right, let's keep reading here about why we do the church. Because this article said that we don't do the church. The church is separate from God and it's not the same thing. So I want to jump down. Okay, what is our church's special role? Okay, this is the book of 1 Timothy, and it's chapter 3, and this is the Apostle Paul writing to a young guy named Timothy who was a pastor at a church.
Right, it says, although I hope to come to you soon, I am writing to you these instructions so that if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar of the foundation of truth.
Okay, now the church is referred to as three things here. And this is from a prophet from God through the prophet. Mm-hmm. So God is speaking and he says, the church is God's household.
Right.
Now, I don't know exactly how someone can believe in God, but reject his household. That doesn't seem to make right. sense to me, does it?
It's not congruent.
No, it's not congruent. It is also the pillar of truth. And the foundation of truth. This is what scriptures refer to the church as. Now, note, it doesn't just say a belief. It says the church is God's household, and the church is the pillar, and the church is the foundation of truth. And more specifically, he's not talking about a universal church. He's talking right. about specifically local churches, that local church in your town that is obeying the Bible, the God's household. It is the pillar of truth. It is the foundation of truth. Without that church there, the foundation of the truth begins to crumble away.
Amen.
And so for us to say, I believe in God, but I don't believe in the church, we can't do that and still say, I believe in the truth.
Right.
You can't believe in the truth if you reject the foundation and pillar of the truth.
Right. And to be totally honest with you, you know, if somebody claims to be a Christian but don't want to go to church, somebody along the line in their past had to go to church at some point in order for them to be able to claim that they are Christian now. You know what I'm saying? Because they learned it from somewhere.
Right.
You just don't learn church from thin air.
Right, right.
You know?
And that word ecclesia, it's actually, let's get into that, because you're mm-hmm. talking about, okay, well, someone went to church. Well, what does that mean to go to church? Does it mean you show up for Sunday for an hour? What does it mean to go to church?
Absolutely not.
Let's read, okay? So let's go down to this second quote here. It says, the Greek word for church is ekklesia.
Ekklesia is or was used widely in extra-biblical literature of the day to describe a public gathering, an assembly of people summoned by a herald or town crier. Here in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus employs the word and attaches to it a special significance, God's redemptive community.
Okay. This is interesting, all right? Religious groups never used the word ekklesia. They didn't use the word church. That word church was used outside of the Bible, mm-hmm. outside of religious meetings, for any type of public gathering. Like a group of people gathered together by a town crier, like you go around going, attention, attention, we're going to have a town meeting, we're going to have a town meeting. And that's what they would do. They would go there and they would have church. They would have their town meeting.
Right.
And when someone was there in the town meeting, participating in the meeting, listening, debating, doing the work of the town, they were part of the church.
Right.
So going to church isn't just showing up on Sunday morning and checking out after an hour. It's going there as being part of what's happening. Now, this is an important distinction because a lot of people think, well, church is just boring. Well, almost anything's boring if you only go there to sit down for an hour and then check out and leave. Right.
Yeah, I hear you.
Right? That's like waiting in line at the airport. I am not part of the airport.
Right.
Because I go there and I check out and I leave, right? It's when you go to a sports game, though, you're engaged. Mm-hmm. You go, you buy a hot dog, you watch the game, you hope the team wins. Things like that. When you go to the movie, you go, you engage in the plot line. And those are the most passive forms of being involved. But then you get even more involved. How do you get really involved? You join the sports team.
Right.
You get on the field. You participate in the play.
Well, if you're talented enough, anyway. But, you know, you're right, because I used to be season ticket holder in Denver. And my nephew and I used to go all the time. And it's not, you wouldn't know the people around you, but you're slapping hands every time there's a good play. People you don't even know. And you actually, over time, get to know these people and you become a part of their community.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
And it's the same thing as church. You come, you get involved, and you don't just come in and don't talk to anybody, hear the sermon, and then get up and leave. Because that does nobody any good.
No, it doesn't. And so when we talk about being part of the church, we're not just saying there are rules. You follow the rules. You hear them at church. You should come Sunday for an hour and then leave after hearing the rules. That is like the opposite of what we're saying. We're saying, hey, church is this community. We're all supposed to gather together. We encourage each other. We love each other. We learn the truth because we uphold the truth, even when the world wants to tear the truth down. We teach the truth. We listen to the truth. We love the truth. We love each other. We build each other up. We try to follow the truth together. These are things that make church, church.
Amen.
And so, you know, you've been thinking about God, but you haven't been in church. Make sure if you're rejecting church, you're rejecting loving each other, encouraging each other, believing in the truth, being God's household, because that's what church is. And if you reject church, that's what you're rejecting. You're rejecting God's house. You're rejecting loving people. You're rejecting encouraging each other. And you're rejecting standing up for the truth.
Right. And you're rejecting God's plan for your life.
Yeah.
Because God's plan for your life is not to sit around and be alone.
Well, that's sad.
It is sad.
But here's the deal. You can, so you know, where do you want to be a year from now? Do you want to be listening to this show in your car or at your home, not participating in a church, not being in God's household, not participating in the love and encouragement, not upholding the truth? Or do you want to say, you know what, a year from now, I've been participating in God's household. I'm a member of the household. I love people there. I'm encouraging people there. People there encourage me. I uphold the truth. I listen to the truth and I love the truth.
Amen.
Like, you can do that.
Yes.
That's what being part of the church is all about. There's more to it than that, but I think right now, we're going to go to a listener question.
I got a question.
Okay.
All right.
Got this question through Facebook.
Okay. Says, Jesus never existed, says a new report that finds no mention of Christ in 126 historical texts.
Whoops. Okay, so the person posted this article, tagged me in it, kind of wants some thoughts. All right, so here's what the article said.
All right, Jesus never existed. This is the conclusion of a researcher who says that he has a combined 126 written texts written shortly or during the time that Jesus is supposed to have lived and found no mention of Jesus whatsoever. The claim that Jesus, the messianic figure at the center of the world's largest religion, Christianity, was simply a fictional character, and it's not a new one. The advocates of the mythical Jesus theory have been around for years, arguing that the story of Jesus bears a close resemblance to numerous other mythological stories of ancient gods who were born of virgin mothers and performed miracles.
Which we've answered those questions before.
In a new article entitled The Fable of the Christ, Michael Pulkovich summarizes his findings, or lack of findings, which lead him and others to believe that Jesus never actually existed, but is instead a fictional character made up to give followers of the religion founded in his name a central icon worthy of their worship. He says that only one of the 126 texts combined, combed through, contains any mention of Jesus. So.
Okay, so he looked up, this guy looked through 126 ancient documents and found no mention of Jesus. So what does this mean for us? Is this a problem? Maybe Jesus didn't exist. Well, I'll tell you what. I want you to go to your local library and pick out 126 books.
Okay.
It can be on any topic you want. Hinduism, science, engineering, the history of Kansas, whatever. I want you to pick 126 books. And if it doesn't mention Dave's name, Dave doesn't exist.
That just poofed out of existence.
If it doesn't mention Barack Obama's name, he must not have existed. If those 126 books don't mention Michael Jackson, Michael Jackson must not have existed.
And let's actually go a little bit closer to what they're talking about, too. Let's talk about books that are like written within the last 10 years. You know what I mean? Because they said books that are written around that time.
Okay.
Know? So, but I'm telling you, one thing that we've always talked about, we've talked about before, is that you cannot prove archaeological in the negative.
You can't.
No.
It's ridiculous. Now, you're exactly right. One of the things that's interesting about this is that Jesus was, and the Christianity was, a relatively small sect until Constantine, the emperor of Rome, took over Christianity. And so it was this relatively small sect. So you get this guy who's doing amazing things, but it's from a small group of people.
Mm-hmm.
He looked at 176 texts. What about the other writings that confirm Jesus' existence?
Right?
Why didn't he count those? Just because a book doesn't mention Dave Wagner or Jeff Pipo doesn't mean we don't exist.
Right.
Just because a book didn't mention Billy Graham, you could get 126 books written today, and if none of them mention Billy Graham, doesn't mean he didn't exist. It means you weren't looking in the right books.
Right. Amen.
All right. So, hey, thanks for listening today. Really consider being part of a church. Encouragement, love, God's household, and the pillar and foundation of the truth. That's what you can be. You can be a member of those things, upholding the truth, loving people, encouraging people, and being part of what God intended, a community to uphold the truth.
Right. And you can actually live out what God has planned for your life.
That's right. TruthRevolution.tv is our website. We'd love if you would give or listen or send in a question or a challenge. TruthRevolution.tv. Once again, that's TruthRevolution.tv. Go there right now. Check it out. Have a great week.